we are. So now we're live everywhere. We're on Instagram, and also Facebook and YouTube under Covered in Pet Hair, which is so fun. I love that name, by the way, Covered in Pet
Thank
Hair.
you. Thank you. Thank you. It started as a dating blog, covered in dog hair when I just had dogs and was single, and then it became covered in pet hair when I went with my business partner. We started a podcast together and we both had dogs and cats. So, and then we stopped doing that and I kept the name. So that's it. That's how it happened.
I know. Okay. Awesome. Well, I'm good. You can hear me okay. I can hear you okay. I think we're
Perfect.
okay.
Yes, I think we're good.
Yeah, thank you guys for joining us. We are talking about coyotes this week, because we are smack dab in the middle of coyote mating season here in
We sure are.
America. And Isabel was just telling me that they're pretty much just in America.
Well,
Well,
yeah,
in North
they're
America.
really in North America. So I was doing my research, and I guess the where they have the most attacks and most sightings is in Canada, just because I guess that's a better place for them to live. But they're originally from the southwest of the United States and northern Mexico. Right now is their mating season. It starts around December and goes through the end of mid-March, more or less, and that's when they start having their babies, which is referred to as birthing season.
Yeah, that was actually I was going to say, I don't know what is more dangerous, mating season or the birthing season, like when, the moms are raising their pups, because that you can only imagine, right? What they are willing to do if they perceive a threat
Yes.
to their babies.
Well, what's really, really cool about it is, well, first of all, they mate like permanently. Like it's not just like dogs and cats where they just, have their fun and then go their separate ways. Coyotes only mate once a year, and they actually have like mating rituals, and the female selects a male. And he stays, and he actually helps raise the babies. So not only are we dealing with protective mom, we're dealing with protective dad, and we're also dealing with them protecting each other during the mating season because they're committed now, right? Like that's my partner. I'm procreating with this other creature, so now we have to protect each other. So yeah, there's a lot of layers of defensiveness that they have to consider together. It's really kind of interesting. I love to see it, right? I love to see that coyotes are way more complex than I thought, right? We don't put a lot of thought into this until we do a little digging. And they definitely are the smaller, they're on the smaller side. So they do have a lot to protect themselves from. And if you go somewhere where there's a lot of them and few resources, then now they're, competing with each other for survival, for the survival of the babies and all that. So yeah, it's a lot for the coyotes. My heart goes out to them, but also I feel like the more we see coyote attacks happening, which there was one in the Connecticut shoreline recently. There's been a couple in Charleston because I write for the in those two areas. I write for clients there, and I've been told about these two particular cases. And in Charleston, they're rabid, like they have rabies. So we're not just talking about an attack and potential death, an injury and death of a pet. We're also talking about rabies being spread in areas. So it's a really important conversation that we're having today.
Yeah, no, rabies is absolutely something that is just whoo, devastating. I mean, fatal, right? And in the worst way. And so I'm sure we'll want to touch on that. But so, okay, interestingly, when I lived in San Diego, I lived in this really, really, really tiny neighborhood. It was like six streets, like super, super tiny. And we were surrounded on all sides with coyote dens. So you're walking through the neighborhood and you go down one street and there's these paths in between some of the houses going up into the mountains, and literally every single one of them there were three inside of the neighborhood. They all go up into the mountains. There were different coyote dens in every single one. And then across the street from the neighborhood were hill was a hillside, and there were more coyotes. So literally our entire neighborhood was surrounded with various coyote dens. And I am not a morning person, so I never saw this, but people in the neighborhood, because we have our little like neighborhood group chats, whatever,
Right.
they would be up early in the morning, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, walking their dogs because they've got to go to work that day, and they're just right in the middle of the street. They come up on a coyote in the middle of the street at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So fortunately, the 8 years or so that I lived there in that neighborhood in that house, I never heard, like, nobody ever said that their dog or cat. Of course, sometimes we don't know with cats. If you're the kind of person that is just like, I have an outdoor cat or I have an indoor outdoor cat and they come and go as they please, you may never know what happened to them. But I never heard of anybody saying that their dog was killed by it. In my neighborhood, outside of my neighborhood, I definitely heard, about that. It happened all the time. So there are definitely things that we should be like, prevention is always the best medicine. I don't care if we're talking
Yes.
about the health of our pets or safety with predators. Prevention is always, always, always the best medicine.
Yes.
So that's my little story.
Yeah, it's true. So I live in El Paso, and we have we're not very wooded, so it's desert, and we have a state park. Like, I live on the west side. We have a state park. Thankfully, on my street, we don't have much wildlife. We're actually the street that backs up to the state park. But it's kind of there's like a kind of like an elevation difference, so they don't really come to us. It's not as easy. They go kind of a little bit further east through the state park. And there's a lot of wildlife, including coyotes. And people have said, like, my cat's missing. And people are like, well, there's no way of knowing. Or people have seen it on their Ring, doorbell camera, where a coyote's like lurking around. And what we want is to, first of all, know that it is peak mating season right now, which means that they're out and about looking for mates. So right now we need to take a little more precaution just because they're out and about, but also just know that anything could be a den. Like, in our area, it's like there's like lots of rock formations, so they can den in there. They can den in fallen trees in the woods. Like, they can den in a lot of places. So, the biggest thing is knowing that they exist all year long. All year long they can be out there, because like there's a process, right, of their development from mating to birthing. Then they nurse their babies apparently till like June. So birthing season is between April and May, and then they nurse until like June, and then after that they have to teach the babies how to hunt and stuff. And sometimes at the beginning they're regurgitating food for them so they can transition to solids, and then at some point they bring them dead animals so the babies can start eating, and then at some point they bring them live animals so that the babies can start hunting. So there's a whole process of what happens in a coyote's life, and that means that there's always a need for food. And if our cats are out there, they can become food. And if we maybe go off of a trail, we're hiking and we go off trail, that's another way we can stumble upon a den. These animals are super smart. They don't want anything to do with us. They're terrified of us. It's not like they're, unless they're a rabid, which is a totally different conversation, because the rabies virus actually makes its host want to infect other hosts. So it's like really zombie apocalypse level stuff. But outside of rabies, coyotes don't want anything to do with us. But if we stumble upon a den, or if we stumble upon a pack while they're hunting, or if our pet, our dog is off leash on a hike, the dog runs off. Now we're all, the dog surrounded, which is something that happened in Connecticut, the case that I'm sharing about the Connecticut shoreline. They were in a, they were in a hiking area, but the dog was off leash, which they do all the time, right? And they've never had any issue. And that's a risk you take when you let your dog off leash on off trail, right? Like, that's, I wouldn't do it. That's not my style. I know a lot of people do it without incident, but that's just not something I've ever done. My sister, lives here in Spain and has a little dog, and she lets him off leash in the mountains in the Pyrenees where we have a condo. But there's not as much wildlife here as there is in the United States. Like, it's an older continent, so they've killed everything off pretty much, right? Where we're headed. So no judgment. But there are times though that he'll eat stuff he shouldn't eat. So I've never been a big fan of like off leash stuff, so I don't do it. But if you do do that, then you run the risk of your dog stumbling upon a pack of coyotes, a den, and then obviously them being defensive about it. So to me, it's like you have to know that it's all year round, not just now, even though right now they are more aggressive and territorial, just like they will be when they have their babies. But also just like practicing precautions year round is probably the best way, because with climate changing and stuff like that, we don't know how that's going to impact the birthing rituals of coyotes. You know what I mean? So
Oh my
like there's no way we can
gosh.
know that only in December or only in January, right? Like things change. So just practicing these things that we're going to give you as tips year round is the best way to approach this, not just being like, oh, it's, July, let my dog off leash.
Yeah, that's actually so interesting that you're talking about climate change, which is not one of my favorite topics, I will admit. But there is something happening, and I saw a TikTok video the other day. I think the lady was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, and she has this giant tortoise. And I have seen other videos in the past. There are people that have turtles and tortoises, and they just naturally know at what time of year they bury themselves, sometimes pretty deep. I think it depends on the species and how big they are, but they know how deep to bury themselves. And then the people that have these pets, they know they're, I don't know what is the word, ruminating, I'm not sure, in their backyard through the winter, and they kind of have an idea of when they should bring themselves back out, when they're gonna kind of wake up and come back out, and they might come out and help them, unbury them, whatever. And she's like, there is something weird going on right now because, first of all, in Texas, we're getting ready to go into our second freeze already, I think, of the year. We had a pretty, oh, what was it? Last Monday night, the wind chill was like 7 degrees where I am, north of Austin. So very, very strange. But anyway, she was saying that this was like 2 weeks ago, that her tortoise should have been slowing down, if not just slowing down, have already buried themselves for the winter, and that her tortoise was literally running around the backyard like it was still summertime. And she's like, there is something going on that is affecting the animals, and we don't understand it. We don't know what it is that's happening. So something is actually affecting the animals.
And they don't operate on a calendar. Like we're
Right.
saying months, like they know what that is. Like they don't have like that. They follow the sun, they follow the moon, they follow whatever it
Yes.
is that, the barometric pressures and everything that they instinctually know to follow. So for us, we're gonna say like, oh my gosh, it's coyote season, but like there's
Yeah.
no guarantee that it won't start early or go late 1 year just for whatever reason. And every pack's gonna do what they want wherever they want, So I feel like something definitely, all these things. Like, I mean, we can talk about like when we were little, like when I was little, there was snow in Miami. Like there isn't anymore, right? So like, we're not gonna like make plans according to what I experienced in Miami when I was 5. We're gonna worry about what's happening now. And I've seen like a lot of there's some studies out there, or like I guess records of how many like coyote attacks there were in 1979. Like, why do we care? We don't care. Like, we don't care about that anymore. Like that's 1979, but like in 2022 and 2023 and 2021, apparently the winter there were fewer calls in certain places about coyotes, but now there are increasing. So like what is going on? Like why are they more active now 23, 24 than they were 21, 22? We don't know. And I mean, I don't know how much money is being spent on researching the methods and the rituals of coyotes, right? Like
Probably not, but yeah, for sure. I mean, there's probably somebody out there that cares,
well, there
but
is actually, I will say this. stuff I learned in preparation for this and for a blog that I wrote for one of my clients came from coyoteyips.com. That's coyoteyips.com. And it's somebody based in San Francisco who apparently loves coyotes. So shout out to coyoteyips.com for all this fun, interesting information. So one way that we know, according to this site, that they are mating is the yipping and the howling that you hear. And just because it's only in the middle of the night doesn't mean that they're like out in the evening and, like you said, early morning. Those are the times that most people will see them, or off like trails where they can't smell humans because they're smart throughout the rest of the day, because they're gonna hunt whenever it's convenient for them, right? Like whenever there's an opportunity, they are opportunists, just like most animals their size, right? So she was she it's a female that writes this page, I guess blog, about coyotes. And so the mating season is November through early March, mid-March. Then birthing season, April, May, and then they have a 63-day gestation. And during that time, the male, usually toward the cloak, like getting closer to the birth, the male will actually guard the den. So now you're not just worried about mom in there, you're worried about the male guarding the den. And then obviously, once the babies are born, the mom can stay 24 hours to a week in there without moving. But then after, she's gonna start, you know, if she's lactating, she's hungry. Like she's gonna come out and she's gonna want to eat as much as she can. I mean, when I was breastfeeding, I would have like held up a bakery. Like, you know, you get hungry. So I can sympathize with the coyote moms. And honestly, like in most urban places where you see them, there aren't a lot of resources for them. So they are gonna come looking for pet food. They're gonna come looking for like pet feces, because it's like a processed granola bar for them, right? Like it's the easiest food they can find. It's probably has some nutritional content. It tastes somewhat like food, and they're scavengers after all, so they're gonna eat whatever they can find. Trash, right? Like they're not the only wildlife we have to worry about getting into our trash cans. Thankfully, knock on wood, we don't have that problem, but I know people have raccoons and people have, you know, skunks and people have rats and things going into their trash, no different from a coyote. And they'll also obviously come for a pet if it's small enough that it, you know, doesn't feel threatening to them. And if they're in a pack, they'll go after a bigger pet, because the dog that was that the it was a situation where the dog ran off into like a wooded it was in a wooded area already. They went off trail, and the lady, the owner, couldn't find the dog, was looking for the dog, couldn't find the dog. Thankfully, another hiker found the dog, and when the hiker found the dog was surrounded by, I believe, six coyotes. If not four, I may be confusing, but that was it. That was 4 to 6 coyotes were surrounding this dog. And the dog was a boxer looking mix that was pretty substantial in size. But of course, like 150 to 80-pound dog versus five coyotes, it's a good standoff, right? And the guy was able to get the coyotes away. He made noise, he scared them off. Again, they're scared of us, they're scared of humans. It wasn't worth it to them to fight him, right? So they ran off, but the dog had lacerations all over her. They were nipping at her private parts, like they were gonna take her down from behind. So they got to her. It just she got really lucky that a human showed up. But again, like you said, like if you have an outdoor cat, you'll never know.
No, there will be no signs for
Well,
sure.
actually, somebody posted something on my page where I shared something, and they said that somebody locally, I don't know where they are, so I can't tell you, in North America, that some like hunter or hiker had come across a den and found like a ton of like cat remains. So it's usually like they eat rodents, they eat small mammals, and they eat cats, because those are the easiest ones, especially in a pack, right? Like they can take down a cat pretty easily. They're really agile.
Yes. And yeah, so no dog is exempt from this. And they will scale a wall. Like,
Yes.
this is not like something that even in when I lived in San Diego, even though I had a wall basically around, and it was a cement wall because it was against a road, a road. So it was put there, I guess, by the city to prevent the
Right.
noise or whatever. And even so, I did not let my dogs out in the backyard by themselves, especially if I could hear the coyotes. Because when they would start going out, first of all, if they got themselves a rabbit, you're hearing the rabbit, which is the most horrible sound you're gonna hear in your whole life, is a rabbit squealing.
Thank
And then
goodness I
they're
have never heard that I know of, right?
and
Like I may have been, I don't know, but I definitely have not been a, I would have a heart attack.
Yes, because there were a good amount of rabbits where I lived, wild rabbits. And so that was it, as far as I could tell, their primary food source. But then once they get the rabbit, or if they will, this was so crazy. They're gonna sound off to alert the rest of their pack to come eat. So you're gonna hear that. And I promise you, they have different noises, just like every species of
Yeah,
animal
they're
does.
communicating, right?
And the longer you live around packs of coyotes, the more you can kind of distinguish their different noises. And they would at night sometimes sound as close as they could to a dog barking, and they would start setting off all the dogs in the neighborhood. So I would tell my husband all the time, I think they're doing this to figure out where the dogs live, where the dogs are outside in these yards,
Smart.
because they can't see. Like, these aren't the
They're
old
not chain
tiny
link, right?
metal
They're not
chain
chain
link
link.
fence,
Yeah.
right? They
Yeah.
can't see into the yard. They can smell that there's a ton of dogs in this neighborhood, right? Or animals, period. But if they start sounding like they're injured, they just set off the dogs in the neighborhood. They're figuring out where all the animals are in the neighborhood. Like, I knew this
Yeah.
is what was happening in
Yeah,
my
it's they
gut.
can scale 12 feet wall, like a 12 foot wall. Like think like most privacy fences are 6 feet tall.
Yes.
So very few people have 12
That's
feet
nothing. Yeah,
to
that's
protect
nothing
their
to
pet.
them.
So like your pet, even in their yard, is not safe. The pet food that you have out in your yard, if you feed your pet outside, is not safe. Water in bowls could attract them in a drought, right? So any trash you have, like you grilled out and you did not clean your grill, that can attract them. So if you live in an area where you know there are coyotes, and in the US, spoiler alert, they're everywhere, because I've seen cases of them in South Carolina right now, all over California, like you said, the Southwest is where they pretty much came from. So that's probably where you'll find the most. I've seen them in Virginia, like ages ago. When I ran my pet sitting dog walking business, we heard in like a super populated urban area about coyotes attacking dogs and cats, and dogs on leash. So it's not like, they get desperate. And like, especially at night, they may not be able to see you. They may not be able to see the leash. So they don't know that that dog is tied to you. They don't know what a leash is. So like, they'd see a little white fluffy thing and they're like, dinner. So it's every time that you think of your pet being unsupervised at night, the first thing you should think of is coyote attack. Like for me, that is why I would never have an indoor outdoor cat ever. I mean, other than traffic, the obvious, even if your pet is like smart enough to stay away from car tires, they may not be able to stay away from a pack of hungry coyotes. And honestly, why would you risk it, right? Like, why would you risk it? Because even this in this case of in Connecticut, where the dog was large and was saved, thank goodness, by the other hiker, that vet bill could not have been easy. And then that dog has to be like vaccinated for rabies again. So now we're maybe even doing rabies immunoglobulin if that exists, like, because we don't have the coyotes, right? So like that dog was bit by coyotes that could have been rabid. So what do? You have to take precautions and hope that they weren't rabid when they attacked your dog. And that is really dangerous. That's like animal control has to get involved. Your veterinarian's going to get involved. There's a lot of medication and things that you're probably going to have to give. And it's just such a huge risk. I would never want to be the person who, like, in South Carolina, they fought off a dog, a coyote with their small dog. This just happened last week, and I can share the link if anybody wants it. But that coyote was found, and it was found to have rabies. So, like, now the human, heaven forbid, was like maybe even a scratch could transmit rabies. Like, that's terrifying. That's
Yeah,
terrifying.
just in it, but now they're not. Yeah, it. Yeah, if there are coyotes, and there are, they're everywhere. But especially, they're just so
Yeah.
active. And for me, like
Yes.
hearing them, hearing, I would always hear them, all the time. Like it didn't matter what time of year it was, I would hear it because they have to eat all year, so
Right.
they're trying to. Like I would literally, I feel like I would hear them pretending to be injured, if that makes any sense. Like just you, like I said, you start getting to know the noises that they make and the different, being able to
Yeah.
differentiate the noises that they make. And it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy. But they're okay, so we know to be worried about it. We know they're around all year long. We know there are certain times of the year we should be extra vigilant. We know they scale pretty high
Yes.
walls, 12 feet, they can scale. Keeping our dogs on leash, being super aware. I think, why did that just happen?
I think Instagram really wants everybody to keep their dogs on leash because they set off fireworks behind Jessica when she said that. And so I'm with you, Instagram. Like, preach, Instagram. Keep your pets on leash, dog, cat, whatever. Whenever you go outside, put your cat in a backpack. If you need help figuring out how to take your cat hiking in a backpack, or your pet, your small dog could go in a backpack really nicely.
Yes.
There are many creators out there. The Cas Pack is one of them, for cats only. It's Kitty Cat Go Adventures. Like, they have so many people out there teaching people how to hike and camp with your pet safely, and they do a lot of make sure that you don't attract any wild animals. Obviously, if you're camping in Canada, you got another bunch of animals to worry about, but there are ways to keep your pet on leash, keep your pet protected. Backpacks. Obviously, you don't want a stroller out there in the hiking, areas, but there are ways to keep your pet safe inside the house. And there are also deterrents. So they sell like commercial deterrents. I don't know what I would use. I would personally just do preventative stuff, like, not attracting them to my yard. But if you live somewhere like what you're describing, Jessica, I guess you could also layer with some kind of deterrent, which I'm sure is like some kind of smell. Some kind of something. It is illegal to poison them, I believe, because
I hope
obviously,
so.
then, yeah, like you can't leave poison out because you can obviously pollute the entire ecosystem. You can poison everybody,
Yeah.
because of the fact that whatever eats them will be poisoned as well.
Yeah. So I know from what I read, if you do encounter a coyote, don't run because they will be more likely to chase you. I mean, that's just hunter prey activity. I don't did they say like try to make yourself? I think you
Make yourself big. Yeah,
make
make
yourself
yourself big
big,
and noisy.
loud noises. Yes. So, I mean, I think that, it's hard to say what you would do in an emergency situation if you haven't been in that situation before, because sometimes we think we have all the right, we know what we're going to do. We know XYZ has to happen, but then you freeze,
Yes.
because you like it's just such an intense situation. But don't leave your pet. Pick up your pet, especially if you have a smaller animal, a small dog. Pick them up would be one of the things I think I read to do, because even if you have your dog on a leash, they could still get to your dog without getting to you, and could probably get to your dog before you could get to your
Yeah,
dog
and
if
if
they
they do
chose
get
to.
to your dog before you, like, and it's like it's they need to like run away for save their life, let go of that leash, right? Like if it's too late to pick up your pet and your pet's already being attacked, like they say, let go of the leash so that your dog especially, you know, can go hide somewhere, go try to do something, and obviously immediately try to make noise. One of the best things to do is bring some kind of deterrent with you. I walk always with, because I live in Texas, but I lived in Louisiana where like stray dogs were everywhere, and they were people's dogs. The people just like didn't secure their yards, like their gates. Like you would, I couldn't walk my dogs after years of being a professional dog walker. When I moved to Louisiana, I couldn't walk my dogs without my husband because I was scared. Like I was scared to do it by myself. Somebody who walked dogs professionally for 7 years, like was scared to walk dogs. And even then, I would, when we were together, my husband and I, we would carry spray shield, which is a citronella spray. And what's really cool about the spray shield is we had to use it once, and you shake it really well so that it becomes like a gas, and it's citronella, so it won't cause permanent damage. And it creates like a cloud, which creates a barrier. So it's not like this aggressive shot of anything, because I mean, if you want to spray something in the face and hope it doesn't react to it, right, with more aggression. But this was like kind of like a cloud. It created a barrier between us and the dog that was coming at us, and it was amazing. It worked really well. With coyotes, noise works really well. So like what are these, whatever horns,
Yeah,
those
like
like
the like little like air
air
horns, not like
horns,
a
air horns. Yeah, air horns are like the spray horns. They have those, like, which I don't recommend for training. They sell them for dog training. Do not use them for training. That
no.
is an aversive in dog training, but it is a good deterrent for a coyote because it's so noisy. So it's basically like a can that makes noise. It's just like something you would wear, use at like a sports game or something. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. So those kinds of things are really cheap and easy to get. They sell them on Chewy. They sell them in PetSmart. They're not like illegal in any way. No pepper spray, mace, that kind of stuff gets a little more iffy when you look at different jurisdictions and what's allowed and what's not. But like a citronella spray is allowed everywhere, from my understanding. And like the air horn is a great thing. And they sell different sizes of them. You might just have to replace it more often if you buy one that's on the smaller side. But it's an easy thing to throw in your hiking. Like if you have a fanny pack or a backpack that you use for hiking, it's an easy thing to use or to throw in there because you want to have layers. You want to be able to like prevent. And obviously, if you're going somewhere where it might be inevitable, like a hiking trail. You don't want to stay home. You don't want to stop doing the things you love. But now that you know, just have like a little bit of a plan in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think again, you were saying keep the area around your home clean. That is something I think I'd like to touch on just a little bit more because we might not think about it as much. Like if you're out camping, you probably know the basics of keeping your camp area clean because you don't want to attract wildlife, blah, 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 all the things. But we might not really think about that in our home life. Like, this is my space. This is where I
Yeah,
like, you just
especially if
might
you have
not.
a fence, right? Like if you have a fence and you don't know that they scale, you think like, who's gonna get in here?
So even if you have a small dog, and maybe you're only cleaning up their poop in the yard once a week, maybe you want to increase that because that is a smell that could attract them.
Absolutely.
And even.
Coyote mating season. Chop the Roddy just joined. Hi. Coyote mating season is more or less December through early March. And then after comes birthing season, April, May. And then, like, that's when. So basically, from like late December or December through May is when they're most territorial. So for different reasons, but that's when they're most territorial. So that's when you want to be most on the alert, just because they're going to be more aggressive and maybe more bold than they would be the rest of the year. So thanks for asking. Sorry to have interrupted you.
No, it's good. So picking up their poop more often, you may even want to go behind them when they pee and like with your hose and dilute the area. I know this all may sound like really overboard, but I think if you were ever in a situation where a coyote had scaled your fence and was in your yard and staring down your dog, you might be like, oh, I wish I had done this,
Yeah,
right?
exactly. It's one of, especially if you live somewhere where they are being seen, right? Like, join next door because they share everything there. Like, I mean, somebody sneezes on their lawn and they're posting about it. Okay, so those, if you like to be active, if you walk around your neighborhood like I do, I walk my dog every single day. My neighborhood, I have a few different routes I take. I personally alone stay off the hiking trail. We have a trailhead right up the street from our house, but I won't do that unless I'm with my husband, kids, friends, whatever, because I just prefer not to be alone, even with my dog. But I still want to know if something's been spotted. I usually walk after 8 a.m. I usually walk before sundown, so I am mostly safe, but that doesn't mean that like a coyote doesn't get hungry at 4 p.m. Like, especially when it's cooler out, right? Like, they can come out at any time. It's not like they're hiding themselves from 110 degrees or from some kind of freeze where they're maybe laying low. On a nice winter day in El Paso, it's the perfect weather to go hiking and to go hunting for, depending on who you ask, right? So knowing that it's possible, knowing that you can just take some precautions, especially whatever is applies to you. So like I will take a precaution of carrying, spray shield. I do that every day. I do that not just for coyotes, but for everything. But somebody who goes hiking might need to do the spray shield and an air horn. And they may, want to have some kind of, really loud, I don't know, like if you have like your, a camping kettle or something like that and a stick, right? Like something really loud and really offensive. I did see there was an attack on a little girl in LA, like in a neighborhood in LA. And I do believe they were in her, she was in her backyard. She was 2 years old. Luckily, she sustained minor injuries. But like the dad threw like a water bottle at the thing to scare it. Again, like I even saw that on our local like media page, Fit Fam El Paso, where a dog was chasing a kid and the kid through a water bottle. So having something that, like if I encounter anything, I have this to protect myself. I envy the people who go for walks and don't worry about that. Like I envy the people who are just like, I'm gonna take my dog for a walk and I'm just gonna go with a leash and a poo bag in hand. I have like 20 poo bags. I have a spray shield. I have my sunglasses. I take everything and I'm like constantly looking at my dog's paws to make sure she didn't pick up any like spiky stuff. Like what a walk even in your neighborhood, as we in like we take over more land, especially like in El Paso, we are growing. So we're encroaching on all these wild animals' spaces. So they're gonna inevitably end up in our spaces and sharing spaces. So just know that, a stray dog could hurt you too. Like this is just a conversation about coyotes, but a stray dog could do something. And if you only let your dog out in the yard, but you are somewhere where people are seeing dogs on their Nextdoor app or they're on the Nextdoor app or on their Ring cameras and they're talking about it, that's a sign to you that you need to take precautions because it's literally happening in your neighborhood. Like it's not in Charleston or in Connecticut, it's in your neighborhood.
And not to throw fuel on the fire, but we also had a lot of mountain lions in Southern California. And they will not only get your big dogs, they will get your children. They are incredible hunters, better than coyotes, I would say. And yeah, so be aware of the wildlife in your area.
Everywhere. Exactly. Know the wildlife in your area because I grew up in Miami and like I am terrified of any water, like any canals. Like you will not see me anywhere near canals because like an alligator will come out and eat you in a minute. And when I had my baby there, like we were there for a while because my husband had deployed, I would literally walk my dogs and my kid away from any street that backed up to a canal for the same reason. So yeah, just knowing your area is a really big one. And knowing that coyotes, like when I was doing my research, I mean, I saw coyote attacks in Louisiana on a on Fort at Fort Johnston, I think it's called, in western Louisiana, like 20 like military men and women were attacked by coyotes like in 2022. I didn't hear about it until I saw it. But I mean, these are pretty, agile people. Luckily, the injuries were very minor, because there were so many of them, but
Yeah.
like that could have been terrible. So, Canada, it's a big problem. Yes, I did. Before you joined Chop the Roddy, I actually said that in my research, I saw that in Canada, it's really, really bad. Most cities give out free noisemaker things for free.
That's
And if
interesting.
any trails or parks have sightings, they will post it on light poles. Yeah, I saw that it's a huge problem, and you know, it makes sense. Canada really has a lot of space for them, right? Like, and it's a lot of areas are wooded, ample places for them to hunt. So it makes sense why they'd want to be there, but it would be scary for me knowing that they're, you know, and they're in. That's what's crazy about coyotes is that they're opportunists. So they're in urban areas too. They're not just in rural areas because if they don't have enough food in a rural area, they're gonna go looking for food somewhere else. And I mean, we've all lived somewhere pretty suburban or urban that has plenty of rabbits, right? And plenty of squirrels and plenty of mice and plenty of chipmunks and
Yeah.
things. So
Right.
that's a really good place for them to be.
I know, especially if you've got a crazy lady like me putting peanuts out every day for the
You know that actually, I'm so happy you said that. So I couldn't find anywhere if putting out bird seed is a problem. It obviously it's going to attract squirrels, which could attract coyotes. So it's not like you're directly attracting coyotes, but
Yeah.
you are potentially attracting their prey. So
Right.
just keep that in mind with your bird seed and peanuts for the squirrels.
And okay, so you were talking about alligators. We have, yes, yeah, there are mountain lions in Southern California for sure. So I've seen
So scary.
them. In fact,
So scary.
I know, in fact, when we were there, or I was there in San Diego, October last year, and there was a like AHVMA after party at an Airbnb in La Jolla, beautiful area, and it was nighttime. You couldn't see anything, but it's up on the hillside, and like. All of a sudden, one of the guys at the party turns around and was like, "Oh my gosh, I think I just saw a mountain lion coming up like the backside of the and it's like, yeah, like I mean, having lived in San Diego for so long, I'm just like, yeah, they're freaking everywhere. You have to be careful. Like
Yeah. And
that's what they're gonna
you
do.
know, and they're again, like when they're hunting to feed not only themselves but their little ones and stuff, they're motivated. Like they're gonna get what they need no matter who stands in their way. Like it is you versus me, and you know, their survival instinct is so strong that they're gonna go for it. They're gonna it, whether it's dangerous for them or not, they're opportunists. They're gonna try.
I mean, if you're starving, then it's try for this food or die anyway, right? Like it's you have to. I get it. I don't blame them at
No,
all.
not at all.
They're trying to survive. Okay, so you brought up alligators, and I again saw a TikTok. I guess there's this I don't know. I know the difference in an alligator and a crocodile, like one has a rounded nose, one has a more square nose. I don't know which is which. I don't know the difference in them. They're both
Crocodiles tend
dinosaurs,
to be
right?
littler. Yeah, they tend to
Okay.
be littler. They crocodiles tend to be smaller. Alligators are like they're so they grow so big.
Yeah.
They can
So
eat me in like three chews.
yeah, right? They can be so humongous. So I think this was an alligator place. So it's Oh, what was it? So I think it on TikTok, it's two guys and some land or something like that is the name of the. So they were showing that they're in North Carolina, I believe, and they were showing that all the water is frozen over, and so the alligators are frozen in the water, basically. And I guess when they know that it's time for the water to freeze, they like just barely have their snouts up out of the water. So that's where I think they call it ruminating. They're frozen in the water with their snouts out to breathe. And it's just the craziest thing to see. And since you said alligator, it reminded me of that.
mean, I'd rather they be frozen like popsicles than just hanging out. It's one of the reasons I grew up in Florida. I have never stepped foot in like one of these Everglades tours. I would never. You'd have to pay me to go on one of those tours. Like, I no. The fact that like a little kid was attacked in Disney World by an alligator is already enough to make me like think twice about going to Disney. And I'm like really like I'm aware of it. And while we were in Disney this summer, in the bus going from the hotel to one of the parks, we could see a little alligator just like laying getting sun in the afternoon. So again, like in the US and in Canada, and actually Chop the Roddy just said, due to development, they're all over major cities, not in packs, but by themselves. Actually, that's what we see a lot in El Paso too. They're not in packs. I guess it's not wooded enough for them to be in packs. It's just kind of so open that they hunt by themselves. But if it is more, I guess, wooded, that would make more sense that they would work together because they could hide. In Burlington, Ontario, a coyote went after a kid while the mother was loading groceries into the house. Crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy. And like, that is the problem. Right, like we can do so. If you live somewhere where you know that that's a possibility, not to like say that the mom should have done more, like I don't know the circumstances, I would never judge somebody under those circumstances. But like, if you live somewhere where they are being spotted more than usual, go find out what deterrents you can put around your yard that may keep them away from your property. And like, hopefully, your neighbors would do the same. So then your neighborhood kind of becomes like unattractive or unappealing to coyotes. And I mean, you know, the more everybody protects, the more the neighborhoods are protected, the kids are protected, the pets are protected. But you know, that's something that you have to kind of like really be proactive about, protecting your own home and yard and land. I mean, I know that there's a dog trainer I follow that lives in Northern California, I think, and she gets bears, and like she has been sharing the barriers and deterrents that she's used. And I didn't pay attention because there are no bears in El Paso, so like I really don't focus that much on things I read. But she shared like one of the last things she finally bought actually did seem to work, because this bear she had already named because he came so often was not spotted for a while. So you know what I mean? Like, there are things on the market for those cases. And if you have land somewhere where there is a lot of coyote activity, like there's a lot of layers you need to employ. It's not just, oh, I don't let my dog out at night.
Yeah, and I've seen certainly in the past decade or so a couple of different types of harnesses for dogs, that like jackets for dogs
Ah,
that have spikes on
yes.
them. So, and I've seen a couple different types. Like, some of them look like metal spikes, and some of them look almost like that the crazy, like, oh, I don't know, plasticky just
They look like
everywhere.
studs on like a biker's jacket, like the studs, but like huge. But the only thing is, it really has to be the right size so that it doesn't move while they're being attacked. And it also has to protect the neck and the butt, right? So like, to me, it's like I see some that just like look pretty cool. Like, that's awesome that the pet's wearing something like so heavy metal, right? But is it really going to be effective? And I'm sure it's not cheap. So I would say definitely, if I mean, if there's nothing else, like by all means, it's something, right? Like,
Because they're certainly going to go for the throat, or like you said, the hind
yes.
end. But I could also see if it's a human with a small dog and they're just trying to quickly get in and grab the small dog, I mean, you have to go for the largest mass to
Yes,
get a good hold of
that's true.
something. So, I mean, it's all up
Especially
in
if
the
it's sized,
air, but
right? Like tight enough that it wouldn't move. I feel like that'd be really good. And when we're talking about spikes, we're talking about like spikes. Like
Big
it looks
spikes.
like your pet is a porcupine. I just Googled coyote deterrent for yard, ammonia soaked rags, or apply an area with a squirt bottle. They don't like ammonia apparently. But what's really cool is this like mask came up that is solar panel, like it's solar powered nocturnal animal repellent predator control. So it looks like a predator and I guess you put it on your yard, on your fencing or something. Look it up. It's super funny. It looks like my Cleopatra mask that I bought for my wrinkles. It looks just like it. It's so funny. It's got the head of think of like a cat with like red eyes. So I guess that they think that there's a predator there in your area, so they find somewhere else to
That's
go.
interesting
Isn't it cool?
that they would say, well, yeah, but it's also interesting that they would say ammonia because I would think, cat's urine has a lot of ammonia in it, and that
No.
would be like, okay, I know cats are there.
All urine has a lot of ammonia because I did a show about that. I actually played a game about like what's in pee, and it's not just, I mean, cats' urine smells more like ammonia, but all urine has
Has.
ammonia, so that really is like it's so interesting that you should say that. I totally didn't put two and two together. Another thing, and it says like it must be reapplied over time after rain. So that's like a lot of work, maybe for not a huge payoff. Motion lights, strobe lighting, blinking holiday lights, they don't like that. Cayenne pepper, vinegar, also motion activated sprinklers, right? So that they can like get sprayed when they come on your lawn. But again, that's only if you don't have fencing, right? Like that would all make sense if you don't have fencing. If you have fencing, then you're not gonna put motion activated sprinklers for for your kids to be playing out there, even though my kids love that. Remove bird feeders.
Remove bird.
Yes, so bird
Yeah, so
feeders are a
birds.
problem. Dispose of fruit that has fallen from the trees. No standing water sources. Keep grills cleaned and covered. Do not feed pets outside or keep pet food containers outside. Like a lot of people will put the container outside because it's cold now. Don't do that. Garbage. Obviously, it needs to be closed, but sometimes they can open stuff. Like a lot of these animals are really, really agile. So, something, if you're like composting or something, make sure that it's like actually like bolted together. We went camping this winter, and the campsite had just like one of these metal trash cans with like the lid, and I'm like,
No.
all they have to do is like push
Push.
it on its side, and now they've got everything. So it's not like it's really gonna keep animals
No.
away, and like obviously if they're already eating your tent's not gonna do anything, right? But if like a harmless animal comes in, you still have to pick up all that, and there's still gonna be left chunks and stuff left. So it really is about finding the right trash can. And they make like specific trash cans that are deterrent. So that's something definitely to invest in because just because of the mess,
Oh
I
yeah.
wouldn't want to have to deal with that in the
I
morning
wouldn't
every
either.
time some animal shows up.
Right.
Bear proof,
Bears,
exactly. Jeep
yeah.
Creep says that it has to be bear rated. So bear rated bear proof. Okay, so that's good to know. So those of us who don't know anything about bears, I've seen campsites decimated for them trying. The only reason I go hiking or camping in December is because they're hibernating. So I'm good. Like that's the only, because you don't see me camping in the summer. I won't do it.
But I wonder if a tortoise isn't hibernating, I wonder if bears aren't. You know what? Well, because of the, I
No,
don't know.
I know exactly what you're saying. I know exactly what you're getting at. You're getting at the fact that there were probably mountain lions, coyotes, and bears.
Kara. My,
Hi,
oh. Hi. Yeah, so I don't know. It's just always be vigilant.
Yes.
Always, always, always.
Absolutely. Does anybody have any questions, comments? We're gonna wrap up here soon. So I hope you enjoyed like coyote mating trivia. They're so romantic. They choose a mate, they stay with that mate.
I love that so much.
I know. And they're so progressive because dad helps with the babies.
Yes, I mean, as it should be, but that's just not how we see it in nature very
No, we
often, right?
don't. And you know what? We just assume that all species, like it's just the mom, and we're like, oh, poor mama. And like, yes, poor mama, because, she's still doing the breastfeeding or the lactating, and that's a lot. But the dad is like the papa coyote sitting outside the den protecting the mom closer to the birth. And apparently, according to coyoteyips.com, she keeps track of these coyotes in San Francisco. And she says that she's seen like a male coyote regurgitate for like a pup as late as a year. So like
Oh,
they're
wow.
involved. Like it's not just, oh, like let me make
Yeah.
sure they're mine, we're good, and we're gonna
Right.
the dad is involved in like the training for hunting and feeding them. It's really like sweet. And they only mate once a year, which is why it's coyote mating season. Like
Yeah.
dogs do tw twice a year apparently. And
Generally, yeah.
fun fact, coyotes only produce sperm during mating season.
Ooh, interesting. That's so
And
strange.
they get tied, so like when they are in the moment, they get tied together. And it could last about 20 minutes. Yes, 20 minutes.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of women jealous of coyotes right now. I love this live. Thank you, Kara. I caught a bobcat on my house camera today. Wow. I'll post the video on my page with a reminder about wildlife safety. And thank you so much. I appreciate that. I know it
Tag
is
me,
like,
so I can share it if I don't see it.
yeah,
So tag us so we can share it on
yes,
our stories too.
absolutely
Yeah. Yeah,
will.
we've got to remember that in the US and Canada, these continents are relatively young compared to others. So like in Europe, I mean, I never see like when I'm in Spain, I never see squirrels. I never see like anything. I mean, in Paris right now, they're like infested by rats, and like you do see that, right? You see rodents, which means they just need more like cats in uniform over there. But like here, I don't see stray cats. I don't see animals. I asked my sister, I told her what we were talking about today, and she was like, "I don't think we have those here." And like we really don't. And even in the Pyrenees, where it is wooded and it's where people go hiking and rock climbing, like the chances of you seeing wildlife, not to say it doesn't exist, but there's just so much less because that new development is not really happening as much. Here in my sister's neighborhood, there is new development and there are tons of rabbits, but like we don't see much as in terms of predators for the rabbits other than the local dogs. So
Yeah,
we have to remember that the
it
US and Canada, we still have a lot of, sh we share a lot of our land with wildlife.
is. We do. And there is nothing wrong with that. We just have
I love
to
that. Yeah, we
act
just have to remember.
appropriately. Yes, we just have to remember that this is their land. Like they need this land more than
Yeah.
we do, honey.
Yes.
So,
Yes.
like, let's respect that. Give them their
Yes.
space versus trying to eradicate them, give them their
Yeah.
space.
Yeah.
And if they have a thriving ecosystem, they don't need to come into our yards, right?
Correct.
So
Correct.
let's,
And
I would say
if you
let's go
do
that way.
spot from my understanding, and if somebody's in Canada, they can tell us if this is the case there too. But in the US, you do not call 911 if you spot a coyote. You can call the non-emergency line, you can call animal control, let them
Why
know. But just because, even if your pet is attacked by a coyote, it's not really a 911 situation. It is more of an animal control situation. So definitely, and unfortunately, like if your pet is attacked by a coyote, because there are incidents of rabid coyotes now, it is a huge bureaucratic health and veterinary issue. Like it
Yeah.
becomes this, even if your pet is not injured, it becomes a huge issue because rabies is so serious and it spreads so quickly. So just avoid it
Yeah.
just for the paperwork.
And you know what? This is so interesting. So last week's episode that I aired on the Pet Parenting Reset was with Dr. Lori Kosher. We were talking all about titers. And she brought up the fact that every time she has had to get a rabies booster, because veterinarians get rabies vaccines and boosters
Yeah.
a lot in their
Yes.
lifetime. Like we don't think about it because we don't. We just don't. Like, why would we? But she said every time she has had to get a booster has been because she was exposed
Exactly.
to an animal with rabies. Interestingly, what is acceptable for veterinarians or any vet staff is if you are exposed to an animal with rabies, they will accept a titer from you. They will draw your blood and say you have sufficient immune
Thank goodness.
response, and you don't have to get another vaccine right now. So, something to think about. I don't know if anyone would accept that for an animal, a dog or a cat that was exposed, but that is something very interesting because that was the point she brought up. She's like, if it's good enough for me,
Why
why wouldn't it be good enough
isn't it good
for
enough
our
for,
animals?
yeah.
So that's me gonna
No, it's true.
I'm gonna get on
And
my
honestly,
soapbox.
no, honestly, like for me, I feel like rabies is the one that I understand why it's legally required. I understand all that, but I do feel like there are states that are requiring annual vaccines when it's the same as the 3-year vaccine, which is just an over vaccinating just because they feel like they need to get people in the veterinary office and that's how they do it. There are no states that really allow titers like to be as valid as a rabies certificate. So I feel like that is one where there's so much reform to do when it comes to the laws that we can do it to where everybody wins because we do need to fear rabies when we do need to take it seriously, but we don't have the laws right now that make sense. Like right now, it doesn't make sense. It's in many states where they require the annual, they're making people spend twice, three times as much for something that we're allowed to do in Texas once every 3 years. So it's not even fair, right? It's not equitable. So that's a
It's
whole other
not.
conversation. But
It
yeah,
is.
rabies is that serious that it is legally mandated. It's the only one.
It absolutely is. And it's a horrible death. I completely am 100% on board with, the eradication of it, or best we can get to eradicating it. But please do go listen to that episode with Dr. Lori Kosher on titer so that you better understand it. And like you were saying, the reality is these laws are not based in science. If we actually look at the science, we always should be titer testing for
For everything.
everything. Because that is science. You hypothesize something and then you test it to not to prove it, to disprove it. Like that's actual science. And then if you can't disprove it, then you can go with. Anyway, I'm gonna
No,
get off
you're
my
right.
soapbox.
Well, I'm like, bravo, bravo, what she said. Yes. So everybody, thank you for joining. I just want to read thank everybody who participated today and shared your experiences with us. We do this every week, but usually it's a little bit later in the day. This next week we'll be doing it at the same time as today, so that's 6 p.m. Spain time, 11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Central
Central.
time. So because I'm in Spain helping my sister with her new baby, who is adorable, by the way, he is so cute. And I'm enjoying the snuggles, but I obviously want to check in and like be in touch, and I'm still working here as much as I can. But you guys, please join us next week. We haven't decided the topic, so again, I'll say, hey, if you want to discuss anything. Anything rolls around your feed and you want to talk about it more, you're on TikTok and something catches your eye, either message Jessica or myself, and we can do a topic that you guys request whenever you want to. So thanks again for joining us, guys.
Yes, thank you so much. Yeah, I would love topic suggestions because Lord knows that content creation is all about finding new topics of things to talk about.
Yes, I blog for pet businesses and I am constantly looking at like trending pet topics and like there just aren't that many. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's
I
you
know.
do, you know, there's so many trending topics in fashion and in health and in all these things, but when it comes to pets, it's just, there's not that many topics. Like, so definitely let us know what is interesting to you right now.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us, Kara. I hope you're having a wonderful time at your new cabin.
Oh,
And
so
we will see,
fun.
I know, right? We will see you guys next week.